Love.
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 Sex.
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 Damnation.
Dance.
The marker.
Danger.
Darkness.
Die Markfarbe.
Tischkau.
Tischkau.
Daru.
Desperados.
Destruction.
This is the LSD Cast, India's first podcast about love, sex, and dating.
Hello there. Welcome to another episode of LSD, and I have the Laughing Rogue with me, and I am Prem. We are your hosts this lovely evening.
Yes, we are. Or day, whenever you're listening.
So before I ask what's making Rogue laugh so much, what's tickling her funny bone, I think I have an idea. It's to do with with my lovely hair.
Your locks. Oh God,
yes,
we should
name them.
What should we call them? They have like their own personality. If this were a movie, they would get their own cast credit.
I don't know actually. Maybe Jai Viru, I don't know.
Pran. It's like Prem's Pran.
Pran.
The villains of Bollywood. Anyway, we're not villains. We are heroes. We are superheroes. In fact, you know, this week has been interesting. I've injured myself in many, many places doing all kinds of non-exciting, non-sexual things, sadly.
Mm.
One of those being I cut my finger while cutting bread. Like the bread and the knife both jumped. And it bled and bled and bled and bled and bled and bled. I was about to pass out. It was so painful. And then, after all that bleeding, I thought I'd need stitches. It's just healed itself. I suddenly feel like a superhero. I feel like how Spider-Man and other people who just sort of, you know, zip up their wounds.
Heal themselves.
Yeah. So I must have superhero qualities I didn't know about before.
Clearly, of course. Absolutely.
It's very cool. Yeah.
Rogue the invincible, the rogue the healer.
Yes. Rogue the rebound healer or something. Anyway. Right. So, what have you been up to this week, Prem?
Where do I begin from? Well, I really let my hair down this week.
Where do I begin?
It's been very weird weather because it's been raining nonstop. It's like the Bombay monsoons have hit Los Angeles. And
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really cold though. It's been 4 to 6 degrees.
Yuck. Okay, well, winter is going strong in North India, but here in Bombay, it's stopped. There was like hot winds blowing this past week. Our mini winter is over, for sure.
Oh, that sucks. Because that's always the best time. November, December, Jan, Feb.
Not in Bombay. It's already so hot. And the other thing of note that happened to me is fueling this idiotic superstition in India that says being shat on by a bird is going to give you good luck. It's just all about looking at the bright side. I got blessed, rather.
You can just say it. You just got shat on.
Heavily.
Heavily.
Big time, yeah. I don't know what this bird had been eating. Yeah. Fuck.
Oh my God.
So it fell on my head. On the day I'd hurt my finger, so I was like one-handed that day. I had my finger all bandaged up. I was one-handed that day. And I get out of the car, and this bird just unloads on me. So I could feel that it was heavy, but I didn't know what exactly had fallen on me. So I reached up with my non-injured hand and tried to brush it off. It hit my sunglasses, which were on my head, which went flying 8 feet away and shattered. So that was charming. Thanks, bird. Really lucky. And there was a whole lot of goop. So then I had to go upstairs to my friend's house and wash my head one-handedly in their bathroom sink. It was really fun. So I'm going to have a very blessed week.
I was just about to say that. Thank you so much for such detailed information that we all could have done without. But now it's there.
Yes, you can't unhear it. That's my master plan for world domination.
Okay, so moving along.
Yes. All right. So what have we got in store for us this time around?
Do tell. I am on the edge of my seat.
I was asking you, but okay, fine. I can also answer this question. So Prem, you've got a question about the dating and intimacy part of our show.
Yes.
And I've got a sex question, or actually a non-sex question coming up. So why don't we just take a quick break and then jump right in?
You read my mind.
I know, I'm really good at that. It's my superhero qualities coming to the fore.
Wow, you've really been blessed. I guess you guys in just a second.
All right.
Hi, this is Michael Burns from Tall Tales Takeaway, India's first storytelling podcast where we feature true stories by people just like you. Find us anywhere where podcasts are found.
And we have returned. So, Rogue, our first question is from Usha.
Love.
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 And.
Danger.
Now, Usha says that she has been in a relationship with her boyfriend for 6 years. And she also said that she thinks that now they have gotten into some kind of a rut where everything seems very bland and mundane as compared to when earlier they used to, you know, go to work and they couldn't wait to come home and share their day, their experience, talk about different things, their fears, their ambitions, their goals, and you know, they had this strong friendship, which I mean, I guess it's normal. But she says that now it's become, you know, bland to the extent that they ask each other how they're doing, what have they eaten, very, like, basic questions. And they spend most of their time socializing with other couples. So she says that she's not married, but she feels like she is way over the hill, been married for 10 years. She speaks to her friends. And her friends say that this is absolutely normal. But she says that she is not ready to accept that. And what should she do?
Oh, poor Usha. Yes, it does sound like a married couple rut, doesn't it?
Yes.
But maybe every relationship falls into that. I guess once you, like, the excitement phase is over.
But is that really true, Rogue? I mean, we were discussing this in our break, and I was saying that I have a couple of my friends who are married, and they joke and say that they really recommend not to get married because their lives are about work, about the little sport that they play. One of them plays tennis, one of them plays golf, and then it's always about the wife. One of them just had a kid. But isn't that the natural progression? I mean, isn't man supposed to work, provide, be with the family? Or is it something that, you know, our generation is beginning to find claustrophobic?
Right. So thanks for putting everything into one thought. There's so much to unpackage.
That's what I do.
God. So, you know, the institution of marriage historically has been very interesting. And the way Indians do it as
with
an arranged
great pomp
thing.
And show.
No, I mean as an arrangement. until very recently, right? Like our parents got married in the 70s and even then a love marriage. Like when we were in school, people would ask, did your parents have a love marriage? Because it was not the norm. An arranged marriage was arranged so that there was benefit to all. And even before that, in the Industrial Revolution, in Europe, in America, marriages were not about love and fulfillment. They were about family ties and businesses. So this new concept, new, matlab, 100 years old, about love and fulfillment and friendship is something people are still struggling with. Also, human nature makes it really hard for us to have excitement all the time.
Mm.
So you put all that into like one thought. The second is, so that was the role. A husband was supposed to do that and a wife was supposed to do certain things. But now we've imposed new expectations. We want everything in one package. We want a lover. We want a best friend. We want excitement. And most experts would say that the excitement phase is actually a very bad thing because it's designed to only draw you. It's like the hunt, the chase. And after that, you're supposed to settle into providing and having a family and stuff. And that's usually the trajectory, which is fine. But does that mean that Usha should settle for that just because her friends say it's okay and because historically this is how we're made? and genetically programmed? No, because if she wants more, then she should have more. But she has to accept that this will happen.
Regardless.
Even if she, yeah, even if she hits the reset button, it takes hard work and daily investment on both sides to keep.
But weren't you saying that you have friends, you know, they have so much excitement as far as like, you know, things that they do together, they go on the weekend, they socialize, watch movies, go for dinners and.
Yeah, yeah. And it takes, absolutely, but it takes effort and commitment from both sides.
Does it really, or does it just feel that it's so natural to both of them because that's what they both like doing?
No, it is, but. Everybody, so look, there are ways where it can even be unhealthy. If you all each other has, that's not very good for you either. It could work in the short term, I suppose, but to commit to each other.
Or the very long term, like when you're like 80 years old and you have each other, that's freaking awesome.
Yes, but it's unhealthy to not have anybody else, because then if your partner dies, when your partner dies, you're all alone. Okay, I'm being morbid.
Oh, you're finished. You're humped.
Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly.
The end.
So, you have to have a balance.
Suicide!
And. Thanks. No, but so the couples who spend weekends together, have fun with each other, it's whether it's an effort or not, I think very, very few people are so lucky that it's absolutely effortless. They've actually married their best friend and it stays that way. But every time you commit to spending that time with the other person, every time you make a plan with that person is a reaffirmation of that commitment. You are committing. You're choosing that person over going out with another buddy, going shopping, going for a movie or whatever, keeping that alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, it's more of an effort. I would say for most people, it's an effort. It's so much easier to Netflix and chill or just talk about what you had for dinner and like zone out and put your mobile phone on or whatever and tweet and watch movies or WhatsApp instead of actually connecting. We slide into that. We've worked really hard. We found each other. Okay, great. We're set. We'll just get fat now and watch whatever's on our screens.
That doesn't sound too bad, actually.
Unless you're bored by it, like Usha is.
So, well, Usha, look, you have to see things from both angles. Like, look at the positives. Like, you have something so nice, so strong, so comfortable. You know, it's not easy.
I know, but you're making it sound really bad.
No, it's true. Like, what is comfort? When I say comfort, it's like a sense of belonging. That's such a powerful thing. That's what I mean by comfort, that you have somebody to come home to, reliable, and all those good things. So I'm just saying then.
But.
Yeah.
But there's that very quick slide into taking for granted, where you're just like, ha, phas gayi to whatever. What is that? Has gayi to phas gayi. No, never mind. But you've like stopped making an effort.
So hasi to phasi has got nothing to do with this, by the way.
I know. So, Prem, I think this is where you enter and say you need to sit him down and talk to him about making an effort together to make things happen.
I think that it should not be a sit down. I think it should be like a discussion, and she should be a little enthusiastic about like, when is the last time we did this? And let's do this. I really want to, you know, do this and have some suggestions, and maybe, you know, he can pick one.
Yeah, and maybe.
I don't think Rogue, she needs to like really sit him down and say, you know what, we need to talk. It doesn't have to be one of those, because it's not.
I know, but no. So I'm not saying that we need to talk. I think you're right. It needs to be a discussion. But I think she has to have him on board, because if one person makes all the effort in a vacuum, it becomes exhausting. So, and I've been there. I've had partners who were either disengaged or one was actually clinically depressed. So I went through this whole thing of trying to like get on, you know, whatever, the Groupon type things nearby, find activities for us to do together, for classes, salsa classes, this, that. And you keep throwing them at somebody with enthusiasm and that person's not receptive because they either fail to understand there's an agenda or they're really comfortable or they're unreachable. It's very frustrating and then you just back off. So it needs to be, they need to be on the same page. Like she has to get his buy-in. And either make him understand that this is something she needs and therefore he has to get on board, or that this is something they need and he has to also get on board. That's how I think.
I think that's the route that Usha should take. So Usha, there you go. You have...
Wow. But I think we need like a gong here to symbolize that that you capitulated so quickly and just agreed with what I was saying.
So I say, well, I stop when I see that you made a good point, and I think you have. And Usha, there you go. You have so much to choose from and chew on from this discussion. And I know that you guys have a wonderful future ahead.
Oh, awesome. Well, we will come back now with our sex questions. So hang in there.
Oh, yeah.
Find the LSD Cast online on Twitter and Facebook and on iTunes and the Google Play Store.
Hey, hey. So we are back.
We're back.
We are. And now we are ready for a sex question.
Sex.
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 So we've got a question from Umair, who basically wants to know, is his girlfriend asexual?
Oh, asexual. I know there's bisexual, there's transsexual. Asexual is what? When anything sexual, anything, koi bhi chalega.
Prem.
A for anything. Anyone.
Wrong.
Any view.
Ready view.
Anytime.
And no.
I am very asexual.
Oh.
Anytime sexual. All the time sexual. How's that?
God, no. It's absolutely the opposite. A as in unsexual. Asexual means somebody who is not sexual at all.
Really? Wow, okay.
Okay, anyway, let me continue with the question. So Umair says that he's been listening to our podcast and he's heard us giving advice to people who are not feeling very sexy, not feeling very reciprocative and all of that. His question is about his girlfriend. He says, she never ever initiates sex. She doesn't seem to think about sex. She doesn't seem to fantasize. In fact, she's told him she never fantasizes about anybody. And they have an okay sex life. But do we think she's asexual? And if yes, then what is he to do about it?
Ah, okay. So, damn. That's I feel kind of bad for him. Because I know how important sex is. To me and thousands and millions of men out there.
People.
Yeah.
Men and women.
No, but this is from a guy's point of view.
Yeah.
So, no, but I just feel like for all men out there who would be in a position like this, it would be very, very, very trying and difficult and frustrating because, I remember bringing this up in an earlier episode where a friend of mine was dating this girl and we talked about frigid, and you said that there's no term as frigid.
Yeah.
And we discussed that, and she had said that, which he thought at the time was a joke, that she would rather have chocolate than have sex, and she was very serious about it.
That's right.
So of course he had to break it off because he wanted a partner who enjoys that as much as he does. But I can see someone who has such a strong emotional connect with a girl, but she doesn't have that ingredient. So does he also give that up? How does that work? Is it okay?
You're missing something quite crucial. He said they have sex and the sex is fine. It's just that she doesn't initiate it or think about it or really seem to fantasize or be active about it.
Oh, so then there was the problem. Like, there would be a problem if she was like, no.
No. No, but...
Not today. Not today, honey. I have a headache. I have this. I have that. Then there's a problem. I don't see a problem. Where's the question? What's the question? Hello?
Supreme, the problem is also in perception as well as labels, as well as understanding that sexuality is a huge spectrum. And you actually put your finger on it, that if you're okay...
On it or in it?
Sure, in it. Anyhow, so it's a spectrum and people have all kinds of responses. People have all kinds of backstories, whether it's physiological, genetic, hormonal, or whether your partner was sexually abused as a child. Like, all of these things can manifest as a lack of interest. You know who's really famous for being, not for being asexual, but who's a famous celebrity and is very clearly asexual is Morrissey, if you guys know of the artist.
No.
he's gone on record to say that he's not interested in sex. He's bisexual but asexual. And those can exist. So, Umair, if you're having sex and your relationship is otherwise okay, I think it's fine to just accept your partner as she is. And it's not abnormal.
So what you're trying to say is that if she would make the first move or like try to, you know, advance a move and get things started, that'll make you happier. But I really feel that it's that's your partner. It's okay. You accept that. And it's okay to be the one who always makes the first move. And she doesn't say no. So I think, I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue. That's what I think.
Right. And you know what else I'm reminded of is that there is this website called Deep Dives, and they had an article about asexuality written by somebody who identifies as asexual. So check it out, do some reading, and if you feel like you really want a label, then maybe share it with your partner. But really, what's the point? You know, if that's what she is in your head, but nothing is really impacted by it, then just leave it be. It's fine, right?
Yeah.
What do you think, Prince?
I agree. Like what I said earlier, like why would you want to fix something that's not broken? And if you, you know, there's compatibility, there's no disrespect, there's, you know, being faithful, loyal, like all the basics are all checked and are there and you're having sex, then what the hell is the problem, Umair? Come on, man, get with it.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay. Sorry to come down so hard on you. But hey, listen, if any of our listeners identify as asexual, you know, we'd love to hear from you about your experiences, like with a partner or navigating telling a partner that you're not interested, or if you're even just figuring out that this is how you identify. I believe they're called ACEs, by the way. Asexuals in India have a community called ACEs.
Wow. So let's take a quick break and we shall be back.
We will. Yay.
So you already know you have to like us. No, love us. Show us your love by also sending questions and comments. Do you disagree with something we said? We want to hear from you. Go on. Don't be shy.
And we are back.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we love stating the obvious. We're very good at it.
So, Ro, quick question. You know, when you were talking earlier on, you mentioned child abuse being linked with asexuality.
Right.
So, how are they, like, linked?
Yeah, so I think there is a link. And it's obviously a bigger topic than we can just, you know, tack on at the end of a show. I think we should actually have a psychologist come on the show in a few episodes to address it. But, you know, in India, the statistic is even worse than anywhere in the rest of the world. In the rest of the world, it's 1 in 3 children, not even just girls, is sexually abused. In India, it's 1 in 2.
Oh my God.
So basically, if you haven't been sexually abused, like pretty much every alternate person in the room from you has been sexually abused as a child. And everybody I know has been sexually abused in some way, from their gardener to their school teacher to some random guy on the bus stop, everybody, right? And these things have an impact on you for the rest of your life. You can deal with them, but you are never free of them. And for a lot of people, there's this thing called dissociation that happens where you dissociate from triggers. Mm-hmm. And that could translate for some people into asexuality, where you just shun all thoughts of sex or ideas about sex, sexuality, bodies. And you don't think about them because it's been so traumatic for you. And that is one of many things that could be linked with asexuality. It could just be genetic. It could just be hormones, your thyroid, estrogen, progesterone. You don't know. But for somebody who's been sexually abused as a kid, it's one of the manifestations could be this. That's all. Okay. So that got really, really heavy.
Wow.
But you did ask, and I guess people should know.
Yes. I'm glad you did, because it's important for our listeners to know. But I really like the idea of getting a professional on board, you know, touch this topic. So I think that brings us to the end of the show.
Right. And I think next time we're going to talk about angel shots. Yeah.
I think it's time. We got to do that.
All right. Okay, you guys, until next time. Miss us, okay? We'll miss you.
All right. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the LSD Cast, where it's all about love, sex, and desi dating, with your hosts, Prem and Ru.
A Sonolog Production.